Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Father Timothy Pfeiffer, and I'm here due to the vocations retreat. So I ask your prayers for the young men who are on this retreat. There are 19 of them, and so I ask you to keep them in your prayers. You probably wonder how Father Joseph Pfeiffer is doing. Well, he's going through the difficult transition time from being here in his beloved parish in the West and going to being second in command from being in charge and going to a lot less work. You know, when you're somewhere for a while, you get to develop a lot of projects and a lot of things are going on and you're running you're running everything and you're very busy running all these things to do. That's one style. And then when you get transplanted, you sort of start over again and gradually pick up projects and work to do. And Father Joe's a guy that is like a shark in a certain way. If a shark stops moving, it sinks. So he needs to keep moving. And so it's a little bit of a difficulty there. But he's doing well besides that. And he's getting into his work there. So please keep him in your prayers, as he always does all of you. The epistle for this Sunday is taken from that of St. Peter. Dearly beloved, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this you are called, that you may inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him decline from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers, with the countenance of the Lord upon them that do evil things. And who is he that can hurt you if you be zealous of good? But if also you suffer anything for justice' sake, blessed are ye. And be not afraid of their fear, and be not troubled, but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to them of old, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. If therefore thou bring thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then coming thou shalt offer thy gift." Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. After Mass there will be confessions, since it's late. So those if you had your spot in the line before Mass, I'll give you a free pass to get back in your same spot. And if those of you who maybe want to go after Mass, taking that are welcome to take the advantage of that, but the other people get there first since they were waiting already. Si habla español también, se puede confesar en español, ya no tienen excusa. No tienen excusa. So this Sunday, my dear friends, we have our Lord telling us a Sermon on the Mount. And he tells us that unless our justice abounds, the justice must abound more than the scribes and Pharisees, we are not going to go into heaven. We're not going to go to heaven unless we have an abundant justice. And he said before this time, when he said these words, he says, "Blessed are they. Blessed are those men that hunger and thirst. That hunger and thirst in their souls for justice's sake, for they shall be satisfied. which means if we don't hunger and thirst after justice, we won't get it, and we won't be satisfied. We will be thwarted, and we will be damned. And is not our Lord the master of justice? Is not our Lord zealous for the house of his Lord? Did he not go into the temple and throw out the money changers and the people that's bought and sold and threw them out and said, do you not know that the house of my Father is a house of prayer? Our Lord was zealous for justice, the justice of God. And he would have that we be the same, zealous for his justice. Now, the first thing he does is make a comparison with the Pharisees, and it's easy to spit upon and trample upon and mock and despise the Pharisees because they were bad. But so many Catholics fall into the same category. There are two principal things, there are at least five. The Fathers of the Church tell us there were five major faults of the Pharisees, and these are two of them. One of them was presumption. They presumed. They presumed that because they followed the letter of the law, they were going to go to heaven. Because they measured out everything and counted everything and they watched their spiritual diet, that they were going to go to heaven. And their mistake in their minds is not very different than the mistake of many Catholics. And the mistake in their mind was, I am a good man. Don't you remember the parable of our Lord? The good publican stood in the back and he says, Lord, I thank thee, I'm not like the rest of men. And the publican would not lift up his eyes to heaven. And he says, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so you see, these Pharisees had this problem of presumption. They presumed on themselves. And it's very easy for a man to lose the sense of his religion. Justice means that we love God above all things. And if we do not love God above all things, we do not have justice. If we do not try to save the souls of our neighbor, we are not just. If we don't try to be as pure as possible in the sight of God, if we don't try to do everything to please him and more, we are not just. We are falling far short of it. And the Pharisees, they figured, well, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. I can count myself having accomplished my duties. And the Catholic falls into the same mentality when he thinks, you know, I've said my rosary, I've done this, I've done that, I've done these things. I can now call it quits. I can now say that I've done enough for God. And this person in his mind is putting himself in his own shoes. He's relying upon his own action. And he's not realizing that if he does anything good, it comes from God. And he's not giving the glory to God. So this was their first problem. They presumed on themselves. And it's why our Lord said, pride goeth before a fall. Because those Pharisees presumed, they missed the boat. They missed our Lord Jesus Christ. They did not understand his humility. They did not understand his divinity. They did not comprehend him. They did not love him. And we will be the same. If we put our spiritual life and everything on our own two feet, our own merits, and not everything upon him. St. Paul said, I can do all things in him that strengtheneth me. But of myself, I am the greatest of sinners. And unless we are convinced that we are the worst of men, the greatest of ingrates, the most capable of betraying our Lord Jesus Christ, and that if anything I have to keep me from falling in the abyss of hell, it is only the grace and goodness of my Savior. Unless we have that attitude, we will never have justice. We will never have the justice that comes from God. We will only have a species of false justice that comes from men, and this will fall away. This is their first evil, this presumption. And then the second great evil of the Pharisees is what we all recognize as hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. In other words, they really did their good deeds. They did what they did to be seen by men, so that other men would see them. And this is hypocrisy. And our Lord, in order to correct this notion with us, he tells us that do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. and don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. Now, your left hand is all your works of penance, all the times you fast and pray and make acts of contrition and examine your conscience and accept the difficulties of life, hardship in marriage, hardship with your children, cancer, every sort of difficulty of this life is your left hand. And you accept all of that in penance, considering to yourself that you've never done anything good, forgetting all whatever good deeds you have done, and considering only that you are a sinner and you must do penance. That's the left hand not ignoring the right. And the right hand is your good works. And the right hand says, I have not done penance. I have not done enough penance. I must do more good things for God. I must press on to the mark. There is more to do. I forget what's behind me and I go ahead. I act as if I've done nothing for God, and every day is a new day to do something for Him. And even what I have done, it is not enough. That's the right hand, not knowing what the left hand does. And all the saints were like this. Fray Antonio Mario de Jesus, a man who preached in the Southwest, he said, I am nothingness itself, just a piece of dirt. God could use a donkey better than me. And he used to say when people, he would be sick and half dead, and he would lay in bed for 2 hours and go out and preach and hear confessions. And everybody asked him, why don't you rest a little bit? And he says, we had all eternity to rest, all of heaven to rest, all of heaven to glorify God. Here we must work and spend ourselves to the last drop of sweat and the last drop of blood. This is the spirit of the saints. These are men who hungered and thirsted after justice. If we hungered and thirsted after justice, we'd never rest in the things that we do for God. You may say, here we built a nice church. It is nothing. It is nothing. What are your souls worth? People come and admire your church and they say it's a nice thing. It's a good thing. Very beautiful. But what are your souls? Of what value are your souls? They've been redeemed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But are they laboring for our Lord Jesus Christ as well as these stones speak of Him? Are they laboring for the salvation of your own soul day and night without ceasing? Are they laboring for the salvation of other souls? Why did we lose all the other churches? Why are all the other cathedrals empty of the Mass? Why are the most beautiful churches of Europe with a Protestantized ceremony? Where are all the living spiritual stones? We will be the same if we do not follow our Lord and hunger and thirst after justice. And that justice is the sanctification of our souls. And if we do not have a desire for that sanctification, we do not have much to do with our Lord. It's very easy for us to fall into complacency. I have done enough for God. I am tired of doing something for Him. What nonsense from a miserable creature. What nonsense. And to consider that not only is this nonsense, but He's missing the boat on the greatest rewards. Our Lord promises us, if you but give a cup of water to a poor man for my name's sake, amen, I say to you, it will not go without its reward. He promises heavenly kingdoms for the smallest of deeds done for His honor and glory. And what are we? What do we do for Him? What are we willing to risk for Him? Well, I've done a lot already, Father. Indeed. Look at what our Lord says. Hunger and thirst after justice. We have not done enough. He gave me life. If my entire life is not given back to Him, I have not done enough. And when you see men who do indeed give their whole lives to God, they say, I want to come back on earth again to die again. I wish I could die 1,000 times for God. I don't have enough lives to spend for Him, enough hours in the day. This is the souls that are filled with the Spirit of our Lord. And if we have the true faith, we must be filled with His Spirit. And if we are not, it's our fault. So we could be Pharisees very easily and sit back in our little Bible and read about those evil people of the past. Thank God I'm not like them. And we are. So our Lord tells us they'll hunger and thirst after justice's sake. Hunger and thirst after it. And he also says enigmatic words. He says, go in secret. Do your good deeds in secret. What does that mean? It means that in your heart of hearts, you never, ever, not even for a second, lose the sight of God. You always think of God and the love of God. So that nobody sees your secrets. Who knows the heart of man but God? Nobody knows your heart. They don't know why you're shaking their hand. They don't know why you're inviting them to church. They don't know why you're doing these things really deep down in your soul. They know it not. But God knows. And in that secret place, we must be like the thurible at the mass, a burning ember, constantly offering up the smoke of good intentions to God. That's to do everything to God in secret. And then our Lord says the other thing, let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works. Is that not being Pharisaical? Isn't that not what the Jews did? They wanted everybody to see their good works. They did indeed. So that everybody could praise them. What a good guy you are. But our Lord says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Glorify your Father in heaven. And what are some of the good works that our Lord demands, that your light might shine? The first one is to love your enemies, and to do good to them that hate you, and to conquer your anger. And he uses strong words in today's gospel for this. He says, if you speak an ill word, you're in danger of a severe judgment from God. And if you that word becomes real contumely in despising your neighbor, you're guilty of a great judgment from God. The whole council of heaven will sit on your case. And if you come to hate your brother, then you're guilty of damnation and hellfire. And haven't even killed him yet. You haven't done your worst. But the soul is already ready for hell, and to be thrown into hell at you to die in this state. Our Lord used strong words to correct this. So what must you do with your neighbor? You must learn to forgive your neighbor. Now, many of us have already injured our neighbors. At work, we're a Catholic man at work, and we have cursed and sworn at our computers. Or they've seen us look at something on the internet. And they know that we're Catholic. And we have scandalized them. What do you do if you want your light to shine before men? You go to that person and you beg his forgiveness. You beg his forgiveness for having scandalized him. For having given him a bad example. And if it's something minor, a man insults his wife, he should not apologize. Honey, yeah, I apologize. This is nothing. He should ask her forgiveness. And if the wife disrespects her husband, she should ask forgiveness. If you can ask forgiveness for the evils that you do others and the scandals that you cause, then you will find it very easy to forgive them when they trespass against you. Our Lord asked this, forgive the enemies. And how many of us are like the judge? Every single man, they say, is a judge in his own court. He sits behind his little desk in his mind with his gamel and his black robe on, and every time he sees somebody do something, he says, that man is wrong, judged and guilty, bam, on the pulpit of his brain. But when he does something wrong, he says, that man didn't think about it, and that man, you should let him off easy. That man is forgiven. That man that I am is constantly forgiven. And that other wretch is condemned. And this soul does not realize that God will use the same measure upon him. If we are very strict in judging the other man, God knows to be strict in judging us. And if you know what's good for you, you'll be gentle on the others and hard on yourself. St. Pascal Baylon said these words, and he's the patron saint of the Holy Eucharist. He said, we must have the heart of a child for God. And we must have the heart of a mother for our neighbor. And we must have the heart of a judge for ourselves. So this is the first thing that our Lord asks. And the second thing he asks is for purity. Pharisees figured that you were pure once you had gone to the lavabo and washed your face and hands. You touch a dead dog, you offered a sacrifice, you washed your face and hands, and you go back into the temple. But our Lord says, woe to the man who looks upon a woman to lust after her. He has stained his soul. And woe to those who vitiate their marriage, he says in the same passage, if you read it. You just read it for yourself. Purity our Lord seeks. And later on he says, the light of thy body is your eye. Let your eye be single. But if the eye be darksome, how darksome shall the whole body be? And a single eye means to do everything for God's glory. But understand this, that a man who cannot control his eyes with regards to women is a man who can't do anything for God's glory. If he cannot be pure in his human nature, how can he be pure in his supernaturally baptized nature? We must be very pure. Or we cannot do what our Lord says, let your light shine before men. Because if the light of my body is darkness, what do I exude but darkness? So let us understand these works that our Lord demands. Purity. And let us leave no stone unturned again. And let us do much penance. And it's not great penances that you need, but little ones. Every time you look twice, say a Hail Mary. Put a rock in your pocket or put a stone in your shoe. And if you want that stone out of your shoe, say a decade of the rosary. There are many little things that you can do, and you will, if you put your will to it, get rid of this sort of impurity. It is not the most difficult to get rid of. It is a whole other thing to do everything for God's honor and glory. That's a great grace. But to purify the eyes, to purify the sight, this is man's work. This is man's justice. And God wants us to fulfill it first before he'll give us the other. Purity of soul. And then our Lord urges us likewise as another work that our light might shine before men. He urges us to pray. Pray. And before he said to pray, he said these words. He says, your Father in heaven already knows. Your Father in heaven already knows what's good for you. So when you pray, call him your Father and glorify him. May his name be hallowed. And then ask him for the grace to do his will. Would you ask a truck from God? He already knows what you need. Would you ask him a full belly? He already knows what you need. Ask him for something he wants you to ask him for. And he will give you what you need to get to work, and he will give you the belly. Ask him to be able to do his will. And as the wise man of the Old Testament said, God will give you all the necessaries to accomplish it. If God asks you to do his will, do you not think he'll give you the tools to do it? If he asks you to build a house, he'll provide the tools. But you must ask the strength to be able to know how and to have the strength to build that house that God wants built. Do his will. So, my dear friends, it's a very big thing, the Sermon on the Mount. You can read it for yourself with profit. But let us see also that our Lord did say these words as well. When he said justice, he appended another object at the end of it, and he said, be perfect. Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the quickest way to perfection is to have a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Take your body and soul and commend it to your mother in heaven, so that she might help you to serve her Son and to honor the Father. Give your soul into her care and keeping, and then deny yourself. And forget the right and left hand and go forward doing good deeds for God. Spend yourself laboring for Him. You must find something to do for Him that is not for you, but for Him. And if you continually commend yourself to the Blessed Virgin Mary and continually try to find something to do for God, your life is empty if you're not doing something for God. How can you live an empty life? Do something always for God, that's strictly for God. And in this manner, you'll arrive very quickly at the perfection that God wills for you. No problem. So let us commend ourselves to Our Lady and ask her to open our minds, to purify our hearts, to give us an understanding of our faith, and not to be ashamed to our Savior, but to be true living stones of the mystical body of Christ that give back to their Redeemer what He wants to pour into them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.